This is a class on Art of Chanting, recorded December 24th, 2008, in Sri Khetradham, Jagannath Puri, continuing with our series of classes on Art of Chanting, Hare Krishna. And we're on the chapter which is called Holy Name in Krishna's Form, which is chapter 14. And we're discussing this principle of chanting and meditating on the form of Krishna. Besides meditating on the forms of Krishna described in the Shastras, one can also meditate upon his favorite deity while chanting. Nectar of Devotion, chapter 6, lists the 26th limb of bhakti as, quote, one should meditate upon the deity. How to do this? One can sit in the temple before the deities of Radha Shyam, for example, and chant japa, along with meditating on Radha Shyam's beautiful feet, forms, faces, tilak, gopi dots, flute, nose rings, dresses, ornaments, and garlands. Concentrate for 10 minutes on Radha Shyam's splendid forms and all the different aspects of their appearance. The dress, what color is the dress, how many flower garlands, what type of flowers, how many necklaces, nose rings, finger rings. And if you see the feet of Krishna, and then what kind of markings, what design on his face, and what color turban, and all the different aspects, very minutely studying the form of Krishna. This is called Rupa Dhyan. At least for the beginning devotee, this is a form that he can relate to and see easily before his eyes, the deity of the Lord. Then, after concentrating for 10 minutes, close your eyes and fix your attention internally on the Ajna Chakra, which is located the space between the eyebrows. In other words, eyebrows are here, and then you put your finger here, and there's a chakra. There's a psychic, subtle psychic energy center there, which is described in the Yoga Shastras. There are 7 chakras. Sahasrapatma Chakra, and the Ajna Chakra, then the throat chakra, and the heart chakra, the stomach chakra, like this. So this particular chakra has been discussed earlier in this book, Art of Chanting. This particular chakra controls attention. So one will look at the deities and then close his eyes. All the time he's continuing to chant on the mala. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And his attention, he's trying to see this point without straining his eyes, very relaxed. His eyes are relaxed, eyebrows, his forehead is relaxed. He's just fixing his attention there. And then at that location between the eyebrows, what is called a trikuta, he tries to see the form of Radha Shyam that he was meditating on and concentrating for 10 minutes. Now he has his eyes closed and he's concentrating. Oh yes, they're wearing a green dress and it's pinned up like this, and Krishna's flower garland is wrapped around his flute and it's hanging like this. And yes, he's pink dots on his face, pink and green dots. It looks so beautiful. And then you're trying to see that image, and the whole time you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. It's a practice. It's called Yoga Abhyas. And it works. While keeping the eyes shut, try to see the same magnificent divine forms of Radha Shyam in your mind at this particular location, the Ajna Chakra. If your mind goes blank when you're trying to meditate, or the divine couple slip away from your inner sight, then open your eyes again and drink the nectar of their darshan once more. If one is not near any deity, he can still meditate upon the forms of his favorite deities while chanting Hare Krishna. Like we may have deities and they're at home or traveling, or we're in Jagannath Puri and we have our home deities. So then we can think, oh, today it's Wednesday. Usually I dress my Thakurji, my Banki Bihari, in green. And that's such a nice green outfit. It's this particular shade. So we're chanting japa and we close our eyes and we try to think of their forms. Or even the whole puja. But this is particular meditating on their forms. Either with their sringar or without their sringar. Or both. And it's very calming for the mind. Very purifying for the mind, and it centers one. Jiva Dharma recommends this. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if one has no opportunity to see the deity, one may remember the deity, and in this way, in the presence of the deity, one may practice the 9 devotional activities, beginning with hearing and chanting the holy name. So this is Praman, our Mahajanacharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and one of his foundational works, Jiva Dharma, which is so important to read and understand for everyone. It's required for the students. And he's just the very principle that we're discussing here. This is called the holy name in Krishna's form, and this section is called Rup Dhyan, chanting and meditating on the form of Radha, Krishna, Gauranga, Nitai, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra. If you went to take darshan today, then if you sit and chant around, say, oh, I saw Lord Jagannath, he was looking like this, and this is very good. Bhanada is one of the vajaris for Radha Shyam, dressing them, and Vrindavan, and he's relating his experience that he's always meditating on the divine forms of his Ishtadev, Radha Shyam, and dressing them. In fact, it was mentioned to me that this particular devotee, Ananda, he's very expert in this department of dressing and painting the Lord's features, face, especially. And some devotees asked him, how do you know how to do this so expertly? And he said, I don't know it. Maybe it's coming from last life. Because he's actually very, very expert. And it wasn't that so much by training. People sometimes become expert by training, but he is known for making all kinds of unique and especially attractive combinations with flowers. And everyone says, who's dressed the deities? And oftentimes they think it must be Indra, because he's famous for his sringar. They say, no, this is a new devotee, this is Ananda. Ananda? Who's this Ananda? Is that right? Sometimes these designs come to me in my dreams. Mostly in dreams, these designs come. Next day he makes them out of flowers. Everyone says, it's so special. I've never seen in 30 years of darshan, of Radha Shyam, I've never seen these type of flower combinations or these designs of flowers on the crown. And so this is very extraordinary absorption in Rup Dhyan, which is perfection. This is called chant with longing. This is appearing in the Holy Name and Krishna's Form chapter. The word prayojan, like we say sambandha avideya prayojan, the word means the goal or the object of attainment. But the word prayojan also means necessity, something we need, something we must have, without which we cannot go on. A necessity. What are some necessities? Air is very necessary. Water, food, sleeping, bathing, and Krishna's holy name. Lord Gauranga taught that the greatest goal or the ultimate necessity of the human life is to attain Krishna Prema, Prema Pumartha Mahan. The soul needs nothing but love, Krishna Prema. The soul has no other necessity. The soul does not need air. The soul does not need water. The soul does not need food. The soul does not need eating. The soul does not need sleeping. So what is the prayojana? The necessity for the soul is prema. Prema pumartha mahan. In Bhajan Rahasyam, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the same point by saying that a devotee possesses only one treasure. What is the treasure? We have one treasure. Whether we have money, or whether we have gold, or whether we have land or jewels, we're not counting. It's some special, unique treasure. What is that one treasure that a devotee possesses? He says, in terms of, we're talking about this concept of necessity. Remember, prayojan. That love is the only necessity. So Bhaktivinoda says in Bhajan Rahasyam, a devotee possesses only one treasure. What is that treasure? His intense hankering for spiritual perfection and love of God. Intense hankering. Hankering means passionately craving for something, thirsting for it, longing, yearning, and wishing hope against hope to attain it. Ramananda Roy describes that a devotee must have deep greed or hankering, lobha, to attain pure devotion to Krishna. This is from Madhya Lila, Ramananda Samvag, chapter 8, verse 70. Ramananda Roy says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam jadi kato pilabhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukriter nalabhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness, which is the translation for Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita. Prabhupada translates this phrase Krishna bhakti rasa bhav. That becomes Krishna consciousness. So someone says, yes, I'm in Krishna consciousness. Are you in the... Yes, I'm in the Krishna consciousness movement. Are you Krishna conscious? Yes, I'm Krishna conscious. I'm trying to be Krishna conscious. Then that means that one will be full of Krishna bhakti rasa bhav. Bhakti. Bhakti rasa and bhakti bhav. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be obtained by sukriti, pious activity, in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can only be attained by paying one price. What is the price? The mulya. Tatra lolyam mulyam ekalam. There's only ek mulya, one mulya. What is that? Intense greed to obtain Krishna bhakti rasa bhav. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. Material greed is a disease that must be cured, but greed for Krishna is healthy and must be cultivated. Lobha, Krishna Lobha, Nam Lobha. Krishna's one pet monkey, his name is Dadi Lobha. Dadi Lobha means Dahi Lobha means yogurt. This monkey is very greedy for fresh yogurt. So Krishna Lobha, Nam Lobha, Sarasanga Lobha, Dhamvas Lobha. Very greedy to live in the holy Dham. Very greedy and intensely hankering and yearning for Sadhu Sangha. And very Lobha, Nam Lobha, very greedy and intensely hankering for chanting Masabhava Nam, Nam which is full of rasa and bhava, pure Nam. A progressive devotee always keeps the fire of intense hankering for prema burning in his heart. That's called a Kanda Jyoti. Some temples, they have ghee lamp, which has been burning for 300 years or 500 years. It's called a Kanda Jyoti or Kanda Deep. Kanda Deep. They keep putting more ghee, and it burns and burns and burns. And some people in their houses, some Indian people in their houses, they keep some a Kanda Deep by some Tulsi or by some Deity pictures because it's very auspicious. So what does a progressive devotee always keep? A fire of intense hankering for prema burning in his heart. This fire of intense hankering for prema will consume and destroy all nonsense thoughts and material desires. So we're talking about greed, chanting with longing, chanting with yearning. So we're doing some discussion about lobha. The greed for Krishna is the ekamulyam. It says here, tatrilolyam mulyam ekalam. That hankering for Krishna is the only price to pay to attain Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita. Krishna bhakti rasa bhav. And that, if that fire is intensely burning in their hearts, fire consumes things that are put into it. You put wood into a fire, it's consumed, which means it's destroyed, it's burned up. You put wood in a fire, what happens? It becomes ashes, there's nothing. So the wood of our material desires, the wood of our nonsense thoughts becomes burned up by this intense fire in the heart. Because material desires are a disease. Kamam ridrogam, it's told in 10th canto, chapter 33, text 38. Kama ridrogam, that lust, desire for material pleasure, is a disease, a rogue, a heart rogue, a heart disease. So this is heavy wood, heavy dry wood, big supply. So if we're always thinking, I must attain Krishna prema, I must become Krishna's eternal loving servant. There's nothing more important to me than this. Then this is always this mood, this meditation, this fire is always burning in the heart. So then everything gets consumed. Crazy thoughts. What is this thought? This is not Krishna anukulya. This is not favor, Krishna prema anukulya. This is not favorable to Krishna prema. Cast it out, throw it out, and it burns up. A lifetime of hankering for Krishna prema transforms into a day-to-day craving and longing. So if our whole life in Krishna consciousness, we're hankering for Krishna prema, that will transform. Because one thing we're saying, our life, the purpose of human life is to attain Krishna prema. Krishna prema pumartha mahan, the pumsa, the man, the living entity. This is the greatest wealth, the greatest value, the real purpose of life, to attain Krishna prema. I've come to this spiritual movement for that purpose, to attain Krishna prema. There's no other reason. Why bother coming to the movement of spiritual people and spiritual thoughts? There's a sadhya. There's a sadhana which will produce a particular sadhya. So we've chosen this sadhya. Sadhya means goal. desirable attainment. So we desire to attain prema, love for God, and His eternal loving service. So there's some price we have to pay, amulyam. The price is greed. We have to really, really want it, intensely crave and yearn for it, and thirst for it, and hope against hope, and try in every possible way to keep that greed burning and burning in our heart for Krishna. So that's the lifetime. Now we take that kind of meditation, that kind of feeling, will transform into a day-to-day craving and longing for what? A craving and a longing of lobha to hear Krishna's flute. Oh, I'm chanting these Gayatri mantras for so many days and so many months and so many years. But it's told that Kam Gayatri is Krishna's flute, that transcendental Kamadeva. He's there dancing in the vibrations in the akshara, the syllables of this transcendental mantra, Kling Kamadevaya Vidmahi. That when I chant, I'll hear this flute calling me and taking away all my desire and filling me with desire to serve Kamadev, to serve his form, to serve his sound vibration, to serve his fragrance, everything connected with Kamadev, Sri Krishna. Agreed to receive Krishna's darshan, and an intense craving and longing to see Krishna's intimate pastimes with Radhika and the Vraja Gopis. One who desires spiritual perfection should constantly express all of these longings while chanting Krishna's holy name. So this section is called Chanting the Holy Name of the Lord mixed with lobha, greed, yearning, hankering. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I must, in this life, I can't pass off this life without hearing your flute or seeing you. And so many acharyas, they say, yes, in this very life, I guarantee you can attain Krishna prema. If you just sacrifice the balance of your life in unmotivated, uninterrupted service, how much life do we have left? We come to Krishna Consciousness Movement, or 23, 24, 30 years old. Already half our life, this life, has been wasted in sense gratification. Useless activities, nonsense desires, passionate, lusty cravings and thoughts. And now there's only a few years left. Why not offer all those few years at the feet of Krishna and Guru? In other words, so these, we express all these longings while chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna, please Krishna. Somehow, in some way, in a dream, can I see you? Or just dancing on my tongue, or somehow appear in my mind, or as a spurti or a vision. Even in a dream, I'll be satisfied if I take rest tonight and see you in a dream. See my deities in a dream. And if I'm intensely serving the Lord day after day, and then with a loving mood and desire to attain their eternal loving service, then when I chant the holy name with that mood of longing and hankering, then when I take rest at night, they will come in my dreams. Oh, you're hankering to see me? You've been expressing this hankering all day? But we don't hanker like that. We hanker for food, clothing, money, recognition, position, mastership, lordship over others, manipulation, politics, diplomacy. Who actually sincerely hankers Krishna? Tonight, please, at least in dreams, can you appear? My own deities. I'm not asking for sakshat, darshan, shamsanu. Just the deities that I'm worshipping, the deities that I'm serving, the deities that I'm seeing every day. I'm seeing you on the conscious plane. But can you be so kind to appear on the unconscious plane of dream world? So, yeyatam mam prapadyante, tamasataiva bhajamyam. As you surrender to Krishna, He rewards it accordingly. We never think like that, we never hanker like that. And how will Krishna? He's busy. We But every day someone's chanting with this mood, it's an incredible mood of humility and hoping, Ashabanda, Ashabanda, hoping against hope. Krishna, I know it's like a dwarf trying to catch the moon, but I am finite, but you are infinite. And the infinite, with the infinite, because you are infinite, therefore there are infinite prospects, infinite possibilities for you to show yourself and give your mercy to me, a tiny, hankering little soul. In other words, what does this mean that one should express all these longings while chanting Krishna's name? It means that one should chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Mixed with intense greed to hear Krishna's flute, to see Shyam's gorgeous form, and to witness Madhava's beautiful pastimes. When one finally sees Krishna in his holy name, then all material greed will finish. Of course, one should still behave in an exemplary way so that Krishna will desire to see him. But at the same time, one should know that there is nothing wrong with desiring to see Krishna. And sometimes people say, oh, you should not desire like that. Only act in such a way that Krishna desires to see you. But now let's analyze this. When someone says you should not desire to see Krishna, you should only act in such a way that Krishna will desire to see you. Well, guess what? There are different planes of action. There is physical action. There is verbal action. There is mental action. Our senses have the ability to move. Right? Our eyes can move, our nose, and we can take in, interact with the world. Our mind has an amazing ability to move, and our hands and legs. So these are all active senses. So the mind is also very active. So acting in such a way that Krishna will see you means turning on your mind and tuning the mind into Krishna. So this is not out of the realm to hanker and desire to intensely see Krishna in this life is also acting in such a way that Krishna will desire to see us, isn't it? It's not just our bodies running around, running here and there and cooking and serving and dressing and distributing books, and our mind is spaced out somewhere in material thoughts. Body coupled and joined with mind. So this is, one should be clear. Yes, it's healthy, it's good. Otherwise we'll be hankering for so many things. We can either hanker spiritually or we can hanker materially. You must be hankering. Sankalpa vikalpa. The mind is always functioning in these two directions. Acceptance, rejecting. Hankering, lamenting. Embracing, desiring, and rejecting. So the mind is very active. It's very active. So act in such a way that Krishna will desire to see you means to desire to see him, to hanker to see him. This is also acting in such a way. Is it clear? We should intensely desire to see and be with Krishna. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji considered his Nam Japa to be fruitless without seeing the beautiful form of Krishna while chanting the holy name. He's chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna. Ah, oh, Krishna's not coming, I'm not seeing Krishna. All these syllables, words are coming. This is a bekar japa. When there was no nam spurti, which means manifestation of the form of the name in meditation, Gaur Kishore would throw himself in the Ganga. He entered the water up to his neck, and he would only come out of the Ganga again when the name would appear, when the personified form of the name would appear in his chanting. I'm not coming out until you appear. In many purports, Srila Prabhupada encourages us, not discourage, he encourages us to become eager to see Krishna. This is a quotation from Srila Prabhupada tape lecture, the 15th of August, 1972. Srila Prabhupada said, "This eagerness is wanted. You should be eager." What eagerness? The eagerness to see God. Then you can see God some way or other, if you develop this eagerness that, quote, "I must see Krishna." This is Srila Prabhupada speaking in a lecture to his disciples in 1972, in the early days of ISKCON. Only a few temples are there. 35 years ago. Some way or other, if you develop this eagerness, what eagerness? That I must see Krishna. Then what will happen? Krishna will be seen. Krishna will respond if you are actually eager to see him. Rupa Goswami has also advised that it is in relation to the matter of the gopis talking. So now Prabhupada in his lecture, he's citing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and an entry from Rupa Goswami, which is saying the same thing that Prabhupada's saying. And he's quoting an example of some sakis speaking together to show this point. One gopi is advising another gopi. "Hey Sakhi, there is one boy, his name is Govinda. He's standing on the bank of the Yamuna near Keshi Ghat. He's playing on the flute and he's so beautiful, especially during the full moon night. Please do not go there. If you have any intention to enjoy this material world with your family members, children, and husband." So the one gopi is warning another gopi about the perils and danger of seeing Krishna Chandra on the banks of the Yamuna. "You'll forget everything. You'll become Sarvadharman Prityaja." So Prabhupada continues, "The idea is that if you see Krishna, then you will forget all this nonsense, material enjoyment. That is seeing Krishna." So this is another quotation from Srila Prabhupada in the same year, the month before. This is July 11th, 1972. Prabhupada lectured to his disciples. "A devotee desires to see Krishna." So if we're devotees, what do we desire? And if we don't desire to see Krishna, what does that mean? We're not devotees. So the definition, you're a devotee. What does this word devotee mean? Devotee means one who desires to see Krishna. He wants to see God. I know that was my burning desire when I was a child. I wanted to see God. And that's why I came to this movement. But the devotee says, "I don't mind, my Lord, if you break my heart by not being present before me. I do not mind. You go ahead and break my heart." And that's what the devotee is saying. Prabhupada continues, because a devotee is always anxious to see Krishna. This is our Gurudev, your Param Gurudev. He says a devotee is always anxious to see Krishna. So therefore in Tota Gopinath and Puri, when we're waiting to see the Lord, we're looking like this and trying to see on the side of the curtain because they don't close the curtain completely. So You look on the side before Mangalarti, you get a glimpse of Radharani or Lalita, and then you pay obeisances and look, and then they close the curtain. Like the Baba there, when we were looking, he closed the curtain one day, or then today he decided to make sure he wouldn't go up close. So he assembled his whole kirtan party, not in the Nath Mandir. That's the Nath Mandir where we stand. That was built about 20 years ago, 15 years ago. But he went right up in the Darshan Mandap, which he never does, but to prevent all of us from eagerly going close to the Lord. So what does Prabhupada say? A devotee desires to see Krishna. Because a devotee is always anxious to see Krishna, just like Radharani is always anxious to see Krishna. But Krishna does not come. Just like Krishna left all the gopis and immediately he went to Mathura. So what did the gopis do? They remained simply crying for the rest of their lives. That is pure devotion. So what is the definition of pure devotion? The definition of pure devotion is this: to feel intense separation from Krishna and cry for Krishna for your whole life. Akanda Krandana Krishna. Unbroken, continuous crying, spend our whole life. What is pure devotion? To feel intense separation from Krishna, to always be hankering for his darshan and wanting to see him again, or at least one time. And how do we pass our time when we're waiting for Krishna's darshan? We cry, day and night, day and night. Prabhupada said, this is pure devotion, this is Gopi Bhav, this is Gopika Prem, this is Brajadav. This is the teaching of the gopis. The teaching of the damsels of Braj. Cry for Krishna, cry for Krishna, try for Krishna, cry for Krishna. Krishna made them brokenhearted, but they thought, never mind. We shall remain brokenhearted, crying all our lives for Krishna. Krishna, you do your business. That's what the gopis are thinking. And Prabhupada says, that is love of Krishna. Of course, this discussion about crying for Krishna is also more extensively discussed earlier in the book, which we recorded. And Prabhupada says some nice instructions in 1975, July 5th. We should follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. What did they do? They were always serving Krishna. They never said, now I have seen Krishna, or last night I danced with Krishna. No, they were crying, Krishna Kahan, Krishna Kahan, where is Krishna? When will one see Krishna? When will one get guidance from Krishna? When will Krishna speak to a devotee? He said that's called Spurti, Vispurti, and Sakshat Darshan. And this type of phenomenon begins at the level of bhava bhakti, not in the middle of the ocean of anartha nivritti, or at the level of nishta, nor at the level of ruchi, nor at the level of asakti, bhava and prema. And they were always searching after Krishna, wondering when they would finally be able to see him. We should also desire intensely to see and be with Krishna. Whether Lord Chaitanya was eating, sleeping, or awake, he did not talk anything but Lord Krishna. Devotees spend their days and nights hearing descriptions of Krishna, speaking about them, and meditating upon these descriptions in their hearts. Devotees think. This is how devotees think. So then, of course, we can ask the question, do I think like that? Do I regularly think like that? Have I ever thought like that? Or will I ever think like this? When will Krishna appear before me? When will I be able to truly associate with devotees? When will I become pure in heart? This is how devotees think in their hearts. And such thoughts bring them great happiness. Assuming the role of a Vaishnava, Mahaprabhu always saw Krishna present everywhere in the world. This is an entry from Chaitanya Bhagavat. This section is called Pancha Tattva Rup Dhyan. So this chapter is called The Holy Name and Krishna's Form. So before we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, some acharyas recommend that we chant one round of the Pancha Tattva mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivrinda. While we're chanting that one round of the Pancha Tattva Mahamantra, then we can perform this meditation on the forms of the Pancha Tattva, beginning with Sri Chaitanya meditation. We can read this entry from this book, which is taken from Gaura Govinda Archana Smarana Padati by Dhyan Chandra Goswami. And this book is, of course, this author is mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This book was written about 400 years ago. He's talking about meditating on the form of the Pancha Tattva. So we read, what we do is, before we chant our Pancha Tattva mantra, then we read this until we can memorize it. And then we close the book, page 215 of Art of Chanting in English. And then we chant the Holy Name, remembering, meditating. We chant this Pancha Tattva mantra. We're saying Sri Krishna Chaitanya, we're saying, yes, we're meditating. I worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose beautiful top knot, the hair tied on the top of his head into a knot, is bound with a string of pearls, like the picture I have on my altar, and whose moon-like face bears the nectar of his gentle smile. His beautiful golden body is adorned with lovely garments, anointed with sandalwood and aguru pulp. And Mahaprabhu's body is bedecked with garlands and various glistening ornaments. Absorbed in dancing, he is filled with ecstasy from tasting the sweetness of ras. Mahaprabhu is more brilliant than the god of love and is always being served by his dear devotees. I meditate on the golden Lord Gauranga, who is absorbed in Krishna Prema and stands holding one hand in the benediction pose and the other hand in the pose of awarding fearlessness while incessantly chanting Harinam. So this is the benediction pose and this is the awarding fearlessness. It's like this. This like this. This is he's awarding with his left hand will be like this. Sometimes you see left hand is like this. He's awarding fearlessness. On the right hand, he's giving benediction. I meditate on the golden Lord, Gauranga, who is absorbed in Krishna Prema and stands holding one hand in the benediction pose and the other in the pose or mudra of awarding fearlessness while incessantly chanting Harinam. This meditation on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be joined with our chanting of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivrinda. This is called Rup Dhyan, the holy name and Krishna's form. So now meditation on Sri Nityananda Prabhu. May I always remember the smiling face and form of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose attractive walking, it says pace, pace means walking, gait. His attractive walking derides the glory of an elephant's gait. So Nityananda, he walks like, and the way he walks, it defeats the glory of an elephant's stride or his gait. Nityananda's cloth. So we're chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Then we see this chala chala. We see this Lord Nityananda. His dhoti is as elegant as a blue lotus flower, and the effulgence of his body conquers the splendor of the rising moon at sunset. That's called Rakta Gora. Golden, but with a slight reddish tinge, and effulgent, and soothing, and caressing, and soft like the full moon. This is the complexion of Nityananda Prabhu's transcendental body. Rakta Gora, reddish gold. And his eyes, which are saturated with prema, are rolling in intoxication. And his eyes, these eyes of Nityananda, they defeat the pride of a Kanjana bird, which is translated as a darting hummingbird, as a Kanjana. Hummingbird flies backwards. Hummingbird flies back, the wings are here and the body is, you know, it's like it flies backwards. Now, meditation on Sri Advaita Prabhu. Advaita Acharya's lotus feet are served by all the devotees, and he bestows benedictions and awards fearlessness to everyone. Advaita Prabhu has a golden, bright golden effulgence, strong arms, and a beautiful face with eyes ever fixed on Lord Gauranga. Advaita's body is ornamented with prema bhakti and covered with white cloth as dazzling bright as a kunda flower. May we always remember Sri Advaita Chandra, the personification of bliss. Now, Gadadhara meditation. Sri Gadadhara Prabhu's lotus feet are saturated with the pollen of mercy. His golden complexion resembles Sri Gauranga. Standing, because Gauranga is Radharani, Bhav and Kanti, and Gadadhara Pandit is Radharani. Standing on Gauranga's left side, Gadadhara offers pan with his outstretched right hand. In the ecstasy of prema, he reveals a gentle smile while fixing his eyes in attachment on Sri Gauranga's moon-like face. Let us meditate on Sri Gadadhara Pandit, the best of the brahmanas, dressed in white cloth, endowed with unlimited wealth of Madhura Bhakti Ras. Srivas Thakur meditation. Let us meditate on all of the blissful associates, eternal associates of Lord Gauranga, headed by Srivas Thakur, who are decorated with radiant prema that emanates from the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga. Due to this prema, various subtic emotions like crying and trembling are always manifesting in their bodies. Their complexions resemble pure gold, and they are dressed in spotlessly white cloth. With smiles on their faces, they always engage their hands in rendering service. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasani Gaur Bhaktarinda. So in the Pachatantra Mantra, the last person mentioned is Srivas Thakur and Gaur Bhaktarinda. So meditating on Srivas includes meditating on the Gaur Bhaktarinda, because he is one of those bhaktas in that group. So there, this is what their description is. So the suggestion is, before chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to purify the mind, one can meditate on the Panchatattva as described here and chant one round of Panchatattva Mantra. Now this section is called Lotus Feet Meditation. This is from Ramananda Sambhad. Discussions with Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya here in Puri. No, maybe not in Puri, maybe in Godavari. But it's an 8th chapter of Madhya Lila, verse 253. Deya madhya jivera Kartavya kon dhyan Radha Krishna padam puja dhyan pradan. Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda, out of the many types of meditation, which is required for all living entities? Dhyan pradan. Dhyaya madhye jivera kartavya kon dhyan. Ramananda Roy replied, the dhyan pradan, the main, the chief type of meditation, which is translated, the chief duty of every living entity is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So we are also living entities. This is it. This is, of all the types of meditation, there's many types of meditation in Raj Yoga, in Ashtanga Yoga, different types of yoga. But they meditate on sound vibration, Omkar. They meditate on the impersonal Brahman. They meditate on some candle flame or their belly button or the tip of their nose. Or they meditate on Agya Chakra and try to see the Brahman effulgence burning in their head. But this is the best type of meditation, at least in the opinion of Lalita Sakhi, or rather, excuse me, Vishakha. Rai Ramananda is saying, the best, the chief, the main type of meditation is to meditate on the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, this is called lotus feet meditation. This is Prabhupada's telling in the Lord Kapila's teachings, page 36. We should first try to see the lotus feet of Krishna. And when we are practiced in this way, then we can look at Krishna's thighs, his waist, his chest. Then we can reach Krishna's smiling face. In this manner, we should meditate on Krishna's form, beginning with the feet and rising up the body to the face. And thus we can associate with Krishna by meditating on his smiling face, his flute, his hands, his dress, his consort Srimati Radharani, and the other gopis surrounding him. Thus we should practice observing the Supreme Lord. And for this purpose, or to this end, Krishna has appeared before us as the Archa Vigraha. So that Prabhupada goes on. You can control your mind. Now this is important. Anyone here can control their mind? No. The mind controls us. Eat this, eat that, do this, do that, say this, say that. The mind is in full control, unfortunately. And the mind, as Krishna says, our mind can be the best friend when it's controlled by Krishna, or it can be our worst enemy when it's in control of us. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Prabhupada says, you can control the mind. How and when? Like this. You can control the mind when you fix up the mind on Krishna's lotus feet. That's all. No nonsense can come within your mind, simply Krishna. That is the perfection of meditation. So beginning to meditate on the Lord's feet, we can begin with Lord Nityananda, who is so merciful that he removes the contamination from our minds and enables us to approach Lord Gauranga's feet and ultimately run on Krishna's feet. There are 24 marks on the bottom of Lord Nityananda's feet. 12 on his right foot and 12 on his left foot. So what we do is that we chant japa and we try to visualize first the person, Lord Nityananda, which we heard about in the Panchatantra meditation. Then we try to visualize his feet and the location of the different marks on the feet of the Lord as we hear the descriptions of them. So ideally, one could record these descriptions slowly on a tape, then play it back while he's chanting, or have someone read to him while he's chanting. Or we could read bit by bit and then close our eyes and then chant.